In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I want justice. That's the widow's cry in Luke chapter 18. She keeps coming to the judge, demanding, "Give me justice against my adversary." It's quite a matchup. The judge neither fears God nor respects men, which leaves him pretty much just loving himself most of all. He's not going to be interested so much in the rights of the oppressed as he's interested in his own self-promotion and comfort. When it comes to the oppressed, here is the widow. Widows go largely unnoticed and neglected, especially if they have no family. When it comes to power in this showdown, the judge has all and the widow has none. But this woman has two things going for her. One is the justice of her cause. She is the innocent party. After all, the guilty don't usually go pounding on the judge's door, demanding that he give their case some extra examination, right? When this widow goes to the judge, she knows she is right and deserves vindication. That explains her persistence, why she keeps coming back. And that persistence is her other advantage. She won't stop. She won't give the unrighteous judge a moment of peace. "I am innocent. I'm wronged. I want justice. And I'm going to keep this up until you do your job. Until you declare me innocent and deliver me from my adversary." She's playing a weak hand. All she can do is keep bothering a man who doesn't want to help. But she's going to play it all the same. It's all she's got. Now, the judge doesn't care about this woman. But no matter how much he works at not caring, she is wearing him down. Finally, he says in verses 4 and 5, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." He's had enough. He vindicates the widow, finding in favor of her and against her adversary. Her persistence carries the day. He justifies her and provides for her request because she doesn't give up, because it's the only way that she will leave him alone. And Jesus concludes this parable saying this: "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I'll tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." In other words, God is the judge. But unlike the judge in the parable, God is righteous and he loves justice. He hates unrighteousness and injustice. He wants to be bothered with prayer, with the prayers of his people. He desires to help. He wants to give justice, to vindicate his people. He is determined to protect and deliver them from all their enemies and adversaries. So, if the widow can count on getting the help of the unrighteous judge who doesn't want to help her, how much more can you count on the help of the righteous God who
who does.
Now, verse 1 says that Jesus told them a parable to the fact that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. The whole point of this parable is that you not lose heart. In other words, Jesus doesn't speak here to beat you down. To say, oh, you are terrible at prayer, so you better start doing a better job if you want to be a Christian. Now, it might be very true that you are terrible at prayer. I don't know. What I do know is that it's a difficult discipline, and it's always under attack. But Jesus doesn't speak to berate you. He speaks so that you do not lose heart, so that you might continue to call upon God and trust in His help, no matter the affliction that you are given to endure. There is good reason to pray. And for one thing, there is the matter of justice. Remember the widow's cry, "Give me justice against my adversary." But consider that request. Consider what God gives you to pray when you say, "Lord, give me justice." Apart from Jesus, a prayer like that is recklessly bold. It's like deciding to try cliff diving with no safety procedures in place and no experience. Think about it. "Lord, give me justice?" Do you really want to demand justice from the judge when you are guilty of sin? If the Lord would give you justice apart from Jesus, then His action would be to condemn you. But God does not act apart from Jesus. So when you pray, "Give me justice, Lord," the Lord responds, "I do. Since you are holy in my sight because of Jesus, I vindicate you. Your enemies are now my enemies, and I will deliver you." That's why prayer begins at the foot of the cross. God hears and answers your prayers because Jesus has died for your sins. If your sins still cling to you, it seems unwise to keep pounding on God's door. But for Jesus' sake, He declares you justified, just and righteous. And because you are His holy child, He delights to hear and answer your prayers. Prayer also involves an element of persistence. You pray for deliverance from your adversaries and justice for your enemies. You pray for deliverance from sickness, from affliction and injury. You pray for deliverance from an evil death and from all evil. You pray for deliverance from the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. In a world so corrupted that falsifies justice, there is a lot to be delivered from. So you pray. But deliverance doesn't always come right away. It usually doesn't come near as fast as you would like. But you do not lose heart, because by faith, you know that the Lord is faithful. Your afflictions and troubles do make this life uncertain. But with the Lord, you have all sorts of comforting certainty. You know that He has already justified you speedily for Jesus' sake. You have salvation in Jesus. And knowing by faith that Jesus redeemed us with his blood on the cross, you can be certain he will not abandon you now. You know that faith trusts in what it does not see, and normally in spite of what it does see. You know that even though the devil will use trouble to convince you that God is not listening, you trust that God is working in all things for your good, according to his wisdom and timing, and not your own. Perhaps God delays vengeance so that your adversaries might also repent of their sin and be saved for Jesus' sake. Perhaps he waits to deliver you as a matter of discipline, to train you that his grace is sufficient for you, that his power is made perfect in weakness. Perhaps he waits to strengthen your faith and teach you the importance of prayer, preparing you for whatever else lies ahead. Perhaps he wants you to wrestle with him, like just happened with Jacob in our Old Testament reading. He wants you to wrestle with him so you realize that you are not self-sufficient and you need his blessing and guidance found in his word and his sacrament. You often don't know or cannot know the reason for trouble. The devil uses that uncertainty to try to make you doubt the Lord. He is very persuasive, and it isn't easy or enjoyable to suffer and wait for the Lord to act. It's difficult enough that many will declare God to be the unrighteous judge and abandon him. How many have already done that? And how many will still do that? Many enough that our Lord Jesus says at the end of our reading, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Knowing all this, it can be very easy to stop praying and lose heart. But that's why Jesus tells us the parable of the persistent widow. Again, you don't measure God's faithfulness by what you don't know or you cannot know, but you measure his faithfulness by what you do know for sure because he tells you. Let me say that again. You don't measure God's faithfulness by what you don't know or you cannot know, but you measure his faithfulness by what you do know for sure because he tells you. As we said before, he promises that you are his beloved child for Jesus' sake. And because you are his beloved child, he commands you to pray to him. He tells you to take his word and rub it in his ears because he delights to hear you say to him, Father, you promised, so you've got to keep your promises. Think of a child who has been promised a trip to get ice cream. I mean, he hears that word very well. And he clings to it. And he keeps on reminding his parents about their promise until it is time to go. Now, honestly, his parents might well look like the unrighteous judge of the parable and say, well, let's get the boy some ice cream before he drives us crazy. But Jesus tells us in our reading that your Father in heaven is neither an unrighteous judge or a reluctant parent. He delights to hear your prayers. While you cannot beat him down until he gives in, he assures you that he will keep his promises and deliver you according to his will. Martin Luther said some words of wisdom and guidance about this parable that I want to share with you. It is not enough just to begin and to cite once, to recite a prayer and then to go away. As your need is, so should your prayer be. Your need does not attack you once and then let you go. It hangs on. It falls around your neck again and it refuses to let go. You act the same way. Pray continually and seek and knock too and do not let go. Since your need goes right on knocking, therefore you go right on knocking too and do not relent. After all, why should some affliction be more persistent than you? Why should some affliction be more persistent than you? You are a holy child in the care of God the Father. While your affliction is a conquered nothing that can do you no lasting harm, it is so because God has justified you speedily already for Jesus' sake. Therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God doesn't leave you alone to battle your afflictions by yourself. But he tells you in Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. True for Jesus, and in Christ, true for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.